George Lawson on the immoral woman of Proverbs, chapter 5, verse 6. Lest you should ponder the path of life, or ways are movable, that you cannot know them. When men enter into a course of sin, they have no intention to be damned. They only intend to indulge themselves in the pleasures of sin for a time, and then to return to the paths of life. Millions of souls have been seduced to everlasting destruction by this one temptation of the old serpent. You shall not die although you eat. Grace is free, and there is abundance of time to repent. The wise man gives what may repel this temptation by letting us know how foolish it is for men to flatter themselves with the hope that they shall truly be disposed and enabled to repent of their sin. Her ways are movable that you cannot know them. She can form her mode of behavior into 100 different shapes to entangle the heart of the lover. She spreads 1,000 snares, and if you escape one of them, you will find yourself held fast by another. She knows how well to suit her words and behavior to your present humor, to lull your conscience asleep and to spread before your eyes such a mist as shall prevent you from being able to descry the paths of life. If you ever think of the danger of your course and feel the necessity of changing it, she will urge you to spend a little time longer in the pleasures of sin. If her solicitations prevail, if you linger within the precincts of guilt, your resolutions are weakened and your passions gain new strength.
You've just heard the Puritan Paragraph on the Bud Zone podcast. The narration is by Tom Sullivan, who can be found under The Narrated Puritan on Sermon Audio, and also at PuritanAudiobooks.com. Welcome to the Bud Zone Podcast. I'm Bud, your host. The Bud Zone Podcast is for, from, and by saints, our buds in the faith. To edify one another in the faith and to encourage one another to love and good works. We discuss the world, we discuss the church, we discuss the faith, we discuss truth, and we do it with the mind of Christ. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to this episode of the Bud Zone Podcast. I appreciate you joining me. I want to start this episode off by reading a quote, not too long, but it's a paragraph and it's an endorsement, and it's by John MacArthur. Here's what MacArthur writes. Quote, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones was without question the finest biblical expositor of the 20th century. In fact, when the final chapter of church history is written, I believe the Doctor will stand as one of the greatest preachers of all time. His style of biblical exposition was meticulously thorough and yet full of energy. Logic on fire was his famous description of preaching, and he had an amazing gift for blending passion and precision in copious measures. He influenced countless preachers, myself included, and he stood steadfastly against the superficial, entertainment-oriented approach to preaching that seemed to dominate the evangelical world then as it does now. Lloyd-Jones still desperately needs to be heard today. I am profoundly grateful for the work the MLJ Trust is doing to keep his voice alive. End quote. And I am profoundly grateful today that I am joined by the president of the MLJ Trust, Greg Jones. Greg, thank you, brother, for taking time to join me.
Thank you, bud. It's good to speak with you again.
Well, we've been trying to coordinate this for a while, and our schedules kept getting mixed up, and finally, here we are. So I'm thankful for you taking time to do this. So, Greg, give us an introduction to MLJ Trust.
Thanks, Ben. I'd be happy to. So the MLJ Trust really exists for one reason and one reason only. We're quite a simple charity, and our reason for existence is to promulgate and to make available the 1,600 sermons of Dr. Lloyd-Jones to anyone who wants to listen to them. Historically, the trust has, or the organizations involved with Dr. Lloyd-Jones's recordings have done that in different ways, through tapes in the past. And in 2013, the trust made the decision to make those available for free download. So we've been running the website. I've been involved since 2017, but others have been running the website since then, just really making the sermons available. We have the website, which you are familiar with. We also have the app, which is becoming more and more of a prominent medium for the trust. And we're also available on, we have a YouTube channel as well. We are on one place, the weekly broadcast, Insight. And we have a Facebook and Twitter account as well. So it's really that's it, but quite simple. Just making the sermons available. And of course, the passion behind it is we have, as Dr. MacArthur said, one of the great expositors of recent church history, certainly possibly church history over the past 2,000 years. And we do have the recordings of Dr. Lloyd-Jones. So we're excited about his biblical gospel-centered preaching, because as these sermons go out, the gospel is going out. And the gospel, the word of God, as we know, is what saves people, and it's also what edifies saints as well. So that's just a very high level overview of what we do as a trust, trying to make them as available as we possibly can. And there are many ways to do that in this changing world of technology, and we need to change with that as well.
I will put in the show notes for listeners, links to all of the different resource locations where MLJ Trust can be found. But the primary engine, I guess, is mljtrust.org. That's the main website. Right. And I was looking earlier, you mentioned 1,600 sermons, which is what is archived there on that website. But I looked at the YouTube, and you've got over 14,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel. And the stats show just over 1.1 million views. So
yeah,
his work, praise the Lord, is getting exposure. Is YouTube the primary outlet that you're seeing in the analytics?
Actually, it's not, but that's a wonderful source for us. But our main source, actually about 85% of our traffic comes through the website or the app.
Okay.
And then, you know, a smaller proportion through those other mediums, namely YouTube and one place. I do think, I mean, YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world after Google. And of course, it's owned by Google as well. But it's an important medium for us that will continue to grow and expand on. And a lot of the work we do at the Trust is really trying to keep abreast of the latest changes in the search algorithms that Google does in order to make the sermons of Dr. Lloyd-Jones available to people who are searching, people who may not be familiar with the teaching of the doctors. Like if we go to conferences or if you go to faithful churches, oftentimes people have heard of Lloyd-Jones, and that's a wonderful audience, of course. But there are people out there who, in a world of somewhat, often emaciated preaching, I think it's great that you can present sermons of a preacher like Dr. Lloyd-Jones to people who may not have heard of him, but are seeking biblical truth. So it's a real drive of the Trust to make sure that as people are searching, our sermons appear there on Google page one. But of course, that's not as straightforward as you'd think. It's a very complicated industry. So we have to make sure that we are doing everything we can to keep those sermons so that, again, there's another passion of the Trust is to make sure that truth is presented, because there's a lot of junk out there, but I don't need to tell you that.
Yes.
YouTube is a good source, but the main one is the website.
Is the website. Well, Lloyd-Jones, that's wonderful to hear that so many people recognize the name, and certainly Dr. MacArthur giving him the accolade as one of the greatest expositors of the 20th century, probably the, is what MacArthur said, that gives him prominence, but it was really the Lord working through his ministry that gave him prominence. The other thing is that he is well known because of the great work of Banner of Truth in producing his books. Mm-hmm. So when he retired from the ministry, which was 1968, is that right?
Correct, yeah. I believe that's correct.
From the pulpit ministry. He didn't actually retire from the ministry, because he spent a lot of time compiling sermon transcripts into books and writing other books. So if folks are not familiar with Lloyd-Jones, the one thing I'd recommend would be Ian Murray's biography. Just absolutely incredible providence of the Lord in this man's life. But back to the MLJ Trust, how did you get the audio? How did you get the sermons? Was there some relationship with Westminster where he preached? Or did the family have the rights to the content?
Yeah, that's a good question, Ben. And that goes really back to the beginning of the what was called the MLJ Recordings Trust, way before my day. My understanding was they had this. The family had the repository there, and I think first of all, it's a wonderful gift, and certainly not in a day and age where so much is recorded. And every church has, sermons available. That simply wasn't the case back in the 50s. And you know, it's remarkable, really, that somebody had the foresight in Westminster Chapel to make these recordings in the first place. I think I've come across some of the names of the people involved, names that will, in terms of evangelical history, are forgotten. But these people took the initiative to make those recordings available, I think realizing that Dr. Lloyd-Jones was a very special preacher. So I'm not actually familiar with exactly how the sermons came into the hands of the family. My understanding is there was an organization called the MLJ Trust Recordings set up in the UK originally. That is the organization which MLJ Trust took over from and bring in the ministry stateside back around that, 2010, around that period.
Okay.
But I believe they were in exactly how they went from, Westminster Chapel. I believe they probably went from there to the family, and then the family has given the rights then to the mljtrust.org. And of course, my predecessor in the role, who did a wonderful job setting up the trust and running the trust, was a man by the name of Jonathan Catherwood. And Jonathan was mm-hmm. the doctor's grandson. So he was the man, along with others like Russ Rice and David Lowy, who continue to be board members, who set up the trust back as an American organization. But so the details of which I'm not sure, but I'm certainly thankful that we have this treasure of scripture preached available to the church today.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it was Russ a few years ago. I really didn't even know that, I knew that there were some obscure recordings that were available, not real good quality, but he gave me, you guys hand out a little zip stick that had sermons on it, and he directed me, Russ did, to the website. And so now that's one of my regular podcasts as I commute to work. I'll pull up a MLJ Trust and on the app and listen to a podcast, which is a sermon of his. Are you guys having to transfer from tape to digital? Or are you involved in that, or are you receiving it pretty much already?
Actually, I found out initially because he was, when he was at seminary, started listening to some of the tapes that organization in the UK did a great job sending out to the world, the recordings tape. Probably Grace to You had a similar start in terms of the tapes being sent out. He came across, I think it was either the writings of Dr. Lloyd-Jones, which have been very significant in making an American audience aware of his teachings. But Russ came across then some of the old tapes and then realized other people wanted them and was producing more and more of them. And then, somebody did the huge amount of work which was involved in then getting them all digitized so that they can be presented for free. And let's not forget, we are, as a trust, we are a voluntary organization. We have no staff. We have no offices. Everything is done on a voluntary basis. It's because of the people who've made donations over the years that we've been able to do some of the work to get them onto the website and then make them available. So we are, this trust wouldn't exist were it not for the generosity of people who love the gospel and love the gospel preached and love the gospel preached faithfully by Dr. Lloyd-Jones in giving their funds to this endeavor. So it was a lot of work to get going.
the folks that go to mljtrust.org, the main website, don't disregard that donate button, because this is a ministry and it does need support, and we need to keep this content from Lloyd Jones out there. It is phenomenal preaching. If you've read any of his books, go listen to the man preach, and you will see that reference to Logic on Fire. You will hear that. There is a passion, but there is also the precision, as Dr. MacArthur mentioned, in the handling of the text, and that you alluded to earlier. There's a lot of junk out in the church right now. He didn't produce that junk. He was precise. He was doctrinal. He was operating from conviction, and he had a fire to see that truth proclaimed. I'm looking at the website, and it's just amazing. I love the way that you've got it organized. You can view sermons by topic. And let me just read through some of these categories. On the book of Ephesians, which there's a wonderful series that he wrote on that, but his sermons as the content, 232 messages, 232 sermons on Ephesians, people. Are you paying attention? 232 on Ephesians, 262 on the book of John, and then, of course, the magnum opus for which he's probably most recognized is the work on Romans. The book of Romans has 366 sermons. Go listen to the man preach. It is incredible. Put it on your podcast list. Cue him up. It's incredible, God-ordained and Spirit-inspired preaching that you need to hear. But you've got all kinds of categories on here. Categories on authority, the different books of the Bible. You've got Christmas sermons, biblical doctrine, itinerant preaching that he did, revival sermons, the Spiritual Depression. If folks don't know that book, this series of sermons is very helpful. The application of biblical principles to your life today and tomorrow, and dealing with the things that we deal with. Anyway, this is incredible. As you look at the list of sermons on the analytics side, do people go to one or the other? Do you see, like, is Romans the most popular thing that folks go to, or is it something else?
You know, I don't actually know the answer to that, but which is the most popular series? That's a great question. It's worthy of looking at. I would guess at it. It's probably Romans, given the fact that it's the largest collection, and, you know, of 366 sermons. Interestingly enough, we're going through Romans 8 on our One Place channel at the moment, and I think he did 72 sermons on Romans chapter 8. Yeah, so, very in depth. But I know there are a lot of popular the analytics, as you know, will measure each page and each website, each sermon, as it were. So collating that into the collections of this kind of that we have would be great fun to do, but probably not easy. But yeah, I would expect it would probably be Romans or Ephesians that you mentioned. And then there's also his book of Acts, which are Dr. Lloyd Jones used to preach in the morning, and he would make those more edifying for the saints. He used to say, saints in the morning, sinners at night. But his night sermons on a Sunday were more evangelistic. That was the practice that he went through. In fact, I was just reading, he traveled actually 7 times to the United States, and his first trip was in the 1930s. And he was, there was a relationship, I guess, between Canadian churches and British churches. And Dr. Lloyd Jones would cover for a summer, I guess, for a Canadian pastor. And he ran them through kind of his method. He told them up front, this is how I'm going to work in the morning. You can expect these to be, I mean, there's always an evangelistic element. I don't want you to think.
You've always got the
there's
gospel.
There's always a combination of the both. But he really focused on the evangelistic ones in the evening. And those were the sermons that early in his ministry, he used to write out the manuscript. Later on, his notes, I understand, used to be much more, you know, bullet point, based on the fact he was preaching 3 sermons, 3 of these in-depth sermons a week on a Friday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday evening. But that was his method, was to do the evangelistic ones. And those are the ones that he wrote out in detail that he'd actually, because he felt that the preaching of the, he felt that the evangelistic sermons were worthy of the greatest attention and worthy of the greatest time, which is runs contrary sometimes to the thinking, you know, today, where perhaps you can keep it light and not need to do too much. He was the opposite. He'd really focus on those evangelistic ones. So that's the reason I say all that is his book of Acts were the evening sermons that he did, and are, you know, resources that I send people to when they're looking for and have used for evangelistic sermons as well. So I'd imagine they'd be quite popular.
Okay. I'll have to dig into that because I've actually gone to Romans. So
yeah,
that's why I ask. But you're right. And if, as you read Lloyd-Jones, one of the anecdotes that true story, and I think it was his first church that was engaged with doing all sorts of cultural Christian sort of things. They had a drama team and they would move the pulpit. And I think he took and bolted the pulpit down to the floor and preventing the drama team from being able to do whatever it was they were doing. This in his first church to emphasize the preeminence of the Word of God. And that is absolutely contrary to the spirit of his age at the time, and certainly the spirit of the age right now in evangelicalism more broadly. You know, we're looking for entertainment. We're looking for, you know, soft sell kind of pop Christianity, which in most cases is not genuine Christianity. One of the I was going to read this other quote, which is from R.C. Sproul, and I don't know when this it's on your page, but it's one of the endorsements, and I don't know when Sproul made this comment, but he said, quote, over 40 years ago, I was at Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia to hear British preacher Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones deliver his landmark series of lectures on preaching. He was a titan of a Christian ministry then, and it thrills me to see his influence accelerating today for the benefit of the church and around the world. That's another unique thing about Lloyd-Jones, is that not only was he evangelistic, if he was, you know, Sunday nights were evangelistic, Sunday morning for saints, but he also was very engaged in the training of pastors, and both in a polemic, corrective kind of way, and this landmark series of lectures that Sproul references really culminated in the book Preaching and Preachers, I think is the title of it. Do you have, is there content on the website that would feature any of sort of that instructive wisdom from Lloyd-Jones for preachers?
Well, we have those recorded, Bud, on the website. They're under the sermon there, Preaching and Preachers. They were his series to Westminster Seminary. And there's so much wisdom in there. And that book, as you say, has influenced so many people and preachers in that it's, it really takes you to the heart of his kind of philosophy for preaching and his belief in preaching. You know, he and there were many people who went to London Theological Seminary who came to those Friday night lectures. J.I. Packer was one who I think he called Lloyd-Jones the greatest man he ever met. J.I. Packer was one of those people in that crowd on a Friday night that came to supplement their training in London at the time. So those are excellent for that purpose. He never liked the Friday night, interestingly enough. He never liked the title lectures. Some people, I think, call them, and he reacted very unfavorably to people who call them lectures. He said, I'm not lecturing, I'm preaching. There's always that exhortative element, and there's always that instructive element. So he classified all as preaching, and he believed that was the key through changing the culture around, not through accommodation or through, you know, ways which he was, you know, rightly skeptical of the integration of the ways of the world that make sense to man into the church. You referenced the drama. You know, he went to Port Talbot in Aberavon to the church there, which is my hometown, interestingly enough. And he immediately got rid of that you know, that drama program, the welfare programs, because he had faith. And it just shows his, because I'm going to change, this church is going to change. Indeed, this town is going to change. You read some of the accounts of the, and the effect that the preaching of the word of God, which, think about it, in the eyes of the world, a man stands up, preaches for 45 minutes a few times a week, and that's going to change the world? That's going to change society? Absolutely. And it did. And but it showed his faith in, this is how it's going to work. This is how the gospel works. It doesn't have a, I think I've heard him say in the past, it doesn't have a direct impact on culture or society, the church and the word, but it does have a powerful indirect message that the church will preach the word, lives will be changed, and those people go, and evangelism and outreach takes on all sorts of different forms that you could never plan. You could never organize as a church.
Yeah.
You could never, you know, but it's going to do much, much more. We're so limited sometimes, I think, in the way that we think, well, let's do this, let's do that. Instead, trust what God has said that we're meant to do by his word. And that's the faithful preaching, teaching, the prayer, the fellowship. Let the church do what it's meant to do and trust God's purposes in these things. And he lived that. And what a bold move. You know, there was a story in Aberavon where one lady who was in the church involved with the drama ministry thought to herself, you know, we're going to teach you a few things here, pal, you know, when you come here and do these things. And later on, she confessed, he was the one who taught me everything. We were in the wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and it came through there. So just, and you see it in the preaching, you know, the belief that that's the key, the word of, and not him, not the style. It's the word of God preached, and the Holy Spirit taking the word of God, applying it to people. And that's the way, you know, that's God's way of doing God's business.
The remark that you made about the direct versus indirect, that actually, one of the places where I heard the exact same thing is from your website, and it's on the Meet Dr. Lloyd-Jones page. Mm-hmm. And it's the interview that you have that links to your YouTube channel with an Iron Talfin Davies. And this is a television interview. I don't know if it was BBC or Welsh TV. I don't know where the source was. But I this morning went back and listened to this because I wanted to document the final question that Mr. Davies asks Lloyd-Jones, but it was in that where he says, yeah, you know, it's kind of Paul, you know, we're equipping the saints to do the work of ministry. Well, what does that? Mm-hmm. Well, the preached word does that, and it has direct influence on the saints who then have a direct influence in the society. They're out doing ministry. So the preacher is really indirectly affecting the culture because he's preaching the word, and the mm-hmm. saints are those that are faithful to live that out. But folks need to go listen to this. It's about a 20-minute interview. Wonderful. It's just really neat to sort of get a feel for Lloyd-Jones as a man and how serious he took the task that he was doing. But here he is on television, and this guy's asking him about, why did you quit being a doctor to become a preacher? And so they're dealing with all number of different things. But here's the question, and I'll read this, and I'm sorry, Greg, it's a little bit lengthy, but it is so worth people hearing. The question Mr. Davies asked Lloyd-Jones was, last question was, what do you think the church needs above all else today? And here's Lloyd-Jones' answer. Quote, he says, she needs to be absolutely certain about her message. We need to get back to the position of Paul when he went to Corinth. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. We mustn't be trying to preach philosophy or politics or things of that kind. We must go back to this New Testament message and realize, on top of it, that without the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, even the preaching of that message will be in vain. That is what I believe is absolutely essential today. As Paul puts it in writing to the Thessalonians, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and with much assurance. That's the essential. Now, I can't do it with either your accent or Dr. Lloyd-Jones, but folks can go on there and listen to this. This is a convictional, called man of God who understood the power of the word. So,
So true. You know, it's just on that message, interestingly enough, Banner have recently produced, Banner of Truth, the publisher, have recently produced a transcript of one of the sermons that he made when he went back to mark his 50th anniversary of when he started his ministry in Aberavon, in Port Talbot there. And he preached on the same text 50 years later that he did his first sermon on when he got to that church. And I think he makes a point in doing it to say, listen, the message is the same. The message I preached to you 50 years ago when I started my ministry, I'm preaching to you today. And I've come to know nothing among you other than Jesus Christ and him crucified. And it's a great, sermon where he elaborates much of what you've said there. But yeah, that's also, it's a great interview, you know, and it gets quite, at certain moments in that interview, it gets quite a little bit confrontational.
It does.
At times, you know, can see the interviewer reacting against some of the philosophies, but he had a very disarming manner about him in a way that he was, you know, strong and able to combat it. But, and the other interview as well with John Bakewell by the BBC is a great one to watch.
Well, that was really wonderful to see, because the interviewer, like you said, you know, he posed the question in a couple of ways that was suggestive of a presupposition that Lloyd-Jones would not agree with. And he says, no, I do not grant that at all. And of course, he does it in such an authoritative way, because the authority he's coming from is scripture. He knows the biblical principles that he's contending for. So that was really interesting. And the guy backed off. You know, it's amazing to kind of, you sort of see his visage sort of changes. Okay, I'm not going to push it any further with this guy. He knows what he's talking about. Well, Greg, what else would you want to share about MLJ Trust, the ministry that you're doing?
Thanks, Bud. I think we have some, some plans over the next year to do a redesign of the site and the app. So that's keeping us very busy this year, I think, with our activities to just make it a little more user friendly and eventually and really just to continue the work that we're doing. You know, the goal of the trust is, you know, Dr. Lloyd-Jones was known in his day as the pastor of pastors. You know, he was very instrumental in setting up certain conferences at his church there. And, you know, people used to, you know, come to him for a lot of pastors. We used to come to him for a lot of advice. And I think the goal of the trust is really to continue that role. So we'll go to conferences, let pastors know, equipping pastors today as he did back then. So that's an important initiative that we'll continue to do, just for people to know what are we about, what are we looking, where are we going, what are we looking to do as a trust. So it's maintaining that role on the one hand of presenting the content and making pastors aware of the content, and then of course the other. So if you want, it's a bit of a ministry of saints in the morning, sinners at night, and then the other side of the ministry is really evangelistic. So when people are searching for sermons online and they're saying sermon on XYZ or not even sermon, you know, it'll be, what does this mean or what does that mean? We're really making every effort to make, which involves, you know, we're running a website. This isn't, but it involves, you know, focused attention of the trust. And that's where we spend a lot of our funds, is figuring out and working through how do we make these sermons available to people who are searching for answers, seeking truth. And those are the twin focuses of the trust. And, you know, and as long as God's people continue to fund the trust, we'll continue to do that. And thankfully, we have been able to do that and want to continue to do that, because, you know, this we have a heavy focus, I think, in the United States and in the United Kingdom. But this is a message that the world needs, you know, so we're excited to see how the Lord will direct us and how he will use the wonderful preaching of God's message by this servant of God, who's now been dead for, you know, for over 40 years, and how he'll continue to use those messages. And I mean, the results, he's probably reached far more people since his death than during his life, you know, because I'm looking at the numbers. We you know, over since 2013, when the MLJ Trust exists in the iteration it's in today of an online ministry where we present the sermons for free. You know, we've had over 14 million downloads of sermons, which is remarkable as you see the message go out there. So, and you know, we're excited to see that actually accelerating at a good clip, as you know, and it works like that with websites, as you'll know, that when you build momentum, when you attract people to the site and they like it, all those factors, all those things factor into making the site available more and more. So we want to just be good stewards of the sermons, be good stewards of this ministry, keep trying to faithfully present it to as many people as we can. And no, we're excited to see how the Lord will use it. Many times, you know, we do get emails into the trust of people, you know, stories and of ways in which the Dr. Lloyd-Jones has impacted people, that, and they're remarkable and so varied, and we hope to continue that work. Those are great encouragements.
Oh, you know,
to make us try and make sure that these messages, because this is you know, eternal, people's eternal destiny is contingent upon us as individuals preaching the gospel, for pastors today preaching the gospel, but it's using every and any means possible for the gospel to go out there. That's our hope.
Well, praise God. 14 million. Amazing. Yeah. Praise God for that. So folks, mljtrust.org, the app, the mobile app, you can get on Android or iOS. So, but go to the website, you can find it there, and there are links on there as well. So we will put those links on the show notes for this episode and encourage folks to go sign up. You send out emails. I pretty regularly get emails, sometimes directly from you, promoting the featured sermon of the week or whatever that has come out. So you do a good job in keeping people informed of what's going on with the site and the resources available there. So I really do appreciate you taking time to help me promote this with you. It's a wonderful thing. We praise God for what you're doing, what the trust is doing, the other guys. I know David, I know Russ. You have another board member, and I don't think I know him, but
Jim Stitchinger's joined in the last year, so we're glad to have Jim on board as well.
So thank the Lord for you guys. Thank you for what you're doing in promoting this. Excellent resources. I'll leave the final word to you, brother.
No, thank you. Thank you, Bud. Thanks for, you know, making this ministry more visible and available to people. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. And that concludes this episode of The Bud Zone. The Bud Zone podcast is a member of the Christian podcast community, where you can find scores of biblically sound podcasts for your edification and encouragement. Go to ChristianPodcastCommunity.org to discover more. You are now leaving the Bud Zone. Thank you for listening. God bless you. And just a reminder, no doctrines have been harmed during the recording of this show.